Welcome back to Issues and Ideas on KCBX. I'm Tyler Pratt. We're going to spend some time today talking about San Luis Obispo County's food and wine scene. I was recently joined in the KCBX studios by three men immersed in that community. Spencer Johnson, owner of the Danier Kitchen Company and creator and chef of the recently launched Turntable Supper Club. Also, AJ LaRosa, chef for Bear and the Wren, a catering company in SLO, and Lennon Rust, founder of the Rust Wine Company, a sommelier, and formerly wine director of Thomas Hill Organics. Welcome, guys.
Howdy.
How's it going?
Thanks for having us on.
Good. Well, before we get into it, briefly, tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're from, and where you got your start. Spencer, we'll start with you.
Well, I was born and raised here in San Luis Obispo County. I started cooking at the age of 16 at Bistro Laurent in Paso Robles after doing some dishwashing with AJ Spurs. It's a big one. Then I kind of cooked around and ended up at Windows on the Water. That's where I met Lennon. I was 18 years old. Yeah. And after that, I kind of went to San Diego, Hollywood, Santa Barbara, and I came back, opened Granada, and then kind of opened my own catering company. So,
what drew you back?
The amazing products of the Central Coast, a little slower lifestyle, and knowing that this area is a good place to be a chef.
Lennon, where are you from?
I'm from Morro Bay. I wasn't born there, but I was raised. Got my start, like a lot of people in the local food scene on the Central Coast, at Windows on the Water. At 15, I polished wine glasses there exclusively for like off and on for 5 years. Waited tables, you name it, I did it. Went to Cal Poly Pomona for hospitality management, took a wine course there, and kind of fell in love with wine. Got a job at Peachy Canyon, worked some production, some harvests, and then found my way back into the restaurant scene, working as the wine director at Thomas Hill Organics. And that's kind of where I got my start and kind of built my reputation, and then decided to start my own wine brokerage company as a way to get out of the crazy hours that we work in the restaurant world. And I represent about 20 different small brands across the Central Coast, and I help them get their wines to restaurants and help build their brands. And yeah, so that's a little bit about me.
Now, AJ, where are you from and where'd you get your start?
So I'm from the Bay Area, born and raised over there. I came down here for school and kind of started my cooking career here. Worked at Cass House with Jensen Lorenzen before they closed. And Jensen actually helped me get a job in San Francisco, where I decided to start chasing Michelin stars for a while. Ended up coming back down here. The balance of life in San Luis Obispo was really something I really wanted to have in my life. Having that work and play balance was really, really something I needed. Ended up working at the new Cass House, helped them open. After that, Bear and the Wren contacted me, looking for a chef for a catering company, wanted to take a break from restaurants, and the rest is history. Bear and the Wren, pizza, wood fire oven. It's awesome.
Cool. One of the reasons I wanted to have you on is I've seen your passion for food firsthand. And for those of you out there that don't know, I've worked front and back of the house for 15 years in a variety of restaurants. And I've always appreciated unique dining and wine experiences that feel authentic. And I feel like that's what you guys create. Yeah?
I think so.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, well, talk to us about that.
Best product in the world comes from here. You know, we have, some people don't know, but Morro Bay is a huge area for the seafood product of the West Coast. A lot of it comes through there. And there's a, you know, sometimes us chefs get to play with that stuff firsthand. We have the best farms and produce, some of the best cattle, pigs. There's some great husbandry of the local animals. And I think taking that into, you know, AJ's or my creative head, what we've done in the past and turning it onto a plate is always fun. Definitely do a lot of different themes with my pop-ups, which definitely makes me look through a different lens every time. And it's really intriguing because you get to study a culture a little bit more in depth. Next thing you know, you're producing food that you haven't done before, but it's opening your eyes and creating a larger repertoire.
What do you think is enjoyable for the customer in the pop-up experience?
Well, it's a different dining experience than a lot of people are used to. Instead of going to a restaurant and you sitting down and ordering from their menu, we're kind of giving you the best of the best that you can get. And I always offer in my menu something for the vegan, something for the people that eat fish, something for the people that eat red meat. And so you're always going to be happy when you come to these places. Menus are feature seasonal products, and so that helps us cultivate a very hyper-local seasonal menu for you.
Where do these pop-ups typically take place?
Well, I've done them all over the place, from private residences to wineries, but currently I'm doing Turntable Supper Club at Sally Lou's in San Luis Obispo. It's a cafe, Sally Lou's Wholesome Cafe. I live close to there, and I eat breakfast there often, and me and the owner decided that it was a really good idea to create Turntable Supper Club.
And what's the theme coming up?
The theme of the Turntable Supper Club is, well, first of all, there's a train that goes through there currently, and it used to have a turntable to move it from a northbound to a southbound train. Second of all, we turn the tables of the cafe into a dining facility where you sit down and it's a pop-up. And third of all, we play music on a turntable.
Oh, that's cool. Amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a great moment to jump in. Anything you want to expand on what Spencer said?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people around here don't really understand with the restaurants. There's a lot of piggyback. A lot of restaurants kind of work on each other, same dishes, but like use that as like a forefront of they want to do. Like as a lot of people have Brussels sprouts, which is a great thing. Everyone loves Brussels sprouts. But with pop-ups, like what we're doing, we want to make something different for this area, something that you can't really get in a restaurant. Something that wants to make you come out of your shell, try something new. And that's where we come in. We have a really extensive background on what we do, and hopefully you trust us enough to give you something that you'd normally try to eat.
For anyone listening out there, what's something that you're working on right now to try and get people out of their shell?
A lot of people love their beefs and their chickens. What about, like, lamb's getting there? Lamb's almost there, but maybe some goat, maybe something different that you can't really get around here. Oxtail is amazing. You can't find that in stores around here. And I would love to have people eat that more often. And it's a cheap cut that everyone can enjoy, you know? Other than that, a lot of the farms around here, they all produce product that goes to San Francisco and LA. And no one really understands that it just comes straight from this area, which is really great. I mean, that's why Spencer and I came here, because this is the heart of it. We get it right in front of us, and that's really, really special to me and him, and I really, really appreciate that.
Lennon, let's take this opportunity to talk about how you work with these different pop-ups, with your wine experience and jumping in the collaboration. How does that involve you?
Spencer has been nice enough to include me in his supper clubs, and even with his catering business, pairing wine with food. And that's kind of my background. So it's fun because, you know, I'm not in working in the restaurant on the floor selling wine anymore. So it gives me a chance to reconnect with the consumer in a way, and you know, I get to play around with fun wines, like, you know, wines from Israel. You don't see those every day on the Central Coast. So, you know, we're going to source some fun wines for the next pop-up he's doing. And then, you know, the previous pop-up, we did some really cool wines from Northern Italy and Alto Adige. And creatively, it's a good source for me, because that's something I don't get to do every day.
Let me ask you this. A lot of times with wine consumers, it's been my experience, a lot of people aren't entirely sure what they want. It's very daunting. It's very large industry. What do you, especially at these pop-ups, what do you look for in sort of bringing something to the customer?
I'm trying to do something fun. These wines are unusual. They're not necessarily wines that the American palate are used to. Like, you know, Israel's winemaking background is vast, and, you know, I'm going to bring in a sparkling wine from there. It may not taste the same as sparkling wines that are made at, say, Leticia down the road, but that's the sense of place that you get in wine. And the winemakers from different parts of the world, they're capturing what the grapes taste like from those regions. So it's cool to be able to present that to a local consumer and seeing how they react to, flavors and stuff like that, that they're not accustomed to.
Spencer, when we were talking before the interview, you mentioned the real farm-to-table experience. What's the emphasis on the real in there?
In a restaurant, 9 times out of 10, it's not coming from the farm that fast. It's been sitting there walking for a little bit. I'm giving you an experience where I'm going and hand selecting all of our produce, you know, day of or day prior to the flowers on the sprouting broccoli are still alive, you know. And that's one of the things that you're not going to see in restaurants is because that sprouting broccoli has a 2-week growing period. And as soon as it comes to the market, I hopefully don't buy it all, but sometimes I do. And that's the kind of stuff that we're able to do around here. In this area, a lot of our restaurants haven't necessarily gotten to the farmer's direct kind of sourcing. And I know that there's some people that are really striving for that and doing so. But 9 times out of 10 restaurants, you're not getting that. And that's the farm direct, farm to table method that I choose.
AJ, I've always seen you looking for new and fresh ingredients, which we talked about earlier. What are you also looking for?
Most of the time, I'm looking for the freshest. You know, like easily you can go to the farmer's market and say something's in season. Well, the next week, that might not be like the best thing to have at that time. What I would like to do is honestly change the menu depending on what we can get at the market and what is best that week. Most of the time, like he said, the broccoli that's sprouting very fast, we try to pick up as much as we can of that stuff because that stuff doesn't last too long. And if you can use it as soon as you can, it's the best product you can ever get. Like last week, I did a dinner with Biddle Winery and Ryan Devlet, and that was not on the menu. But when I went to the market and I saw that, immediately picked up so much of it and threw it on almost anything I can get my hands on just because of how fresh and how beautiful it looked. And how much it popped on the plate changes everything. Because when you eat, you look at it first, and if it looks beautiful, it must taste beautiful, and it does.
So you must have some of these farmers straight on the text letting you know when fresh stuff comes in?
Farmers, mushroom hunters.
Oh, everything.
Fishermen.
Yes.
You know.
You just jump in your car and run over?
Sometimes, yeah.
You do whatever what you have to do. You know?
You do what you have to do.
Well, we've talked about a lot of the wonderful things about living here, but I would like to take a moment. Are there any challenges to being in Slo County and being chefs in this area?
Extreme challenges.
Tell us about them.
There's one meat company. Like if I need a meat delivery, I got one person to call. What if he doesn't call me back? This isn't a big city like where there's 10 people totally fighting for your business. And it makes it difficult. Produce company as well. You know, I see price inflation 2 or 3 times what I'd pay in Los Angeles, which is difficult. Knowing that the products actually come from here. And, you know, it's hard to chew, but you just got to make it work.
Yeah, you work with what you have to get.
Yeah.
What they give you.
San Luis Obispo County is an expensive place. We all know this. Obviously, getting a brick and mortar up and running has to be challenging too. Is that maybe some of the background behind these pop-ups? Is they're more cost efficient?
They're more cost efficient. You know, I have another business as well that I run, so it's hard for me to be able to dedicate every day of the week to a brick and mortar currently. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, it's not easy to build a kitchen. Everyone knows how building in this county is, you know, and in the same sense. For me at this time, I'm able to switch up what I do on a time-to-time basis. It inspires me more to be able to do these pop-ups. Plus, I'm able to have my catering company roll around to cook at other places as well. And I'm able to serve a lot of different people besides just having that one brick-and-mortar restaurant.
Cool. I mean, is there anything in the lineup for the future for you guys in that area?
Yeah, we've been talking about hopefully doing something. I think it's Mondays, right? Hopefully this works out where we just collaborate and get to do a dinner once or twice every month. We can work together, show some amazing product around here, and hopefully get to feed everyone we love.
Industry has Mondays off more or less, and a lot of the times, you know, the industry runs the industry, but do they get to actually be part of the industry? And that's what we want to do, give back. It's important that our people in this industry get to eat what they serve and produce. Or, you know, have an experience of what they produce as well. It's really important for people in our industry to eat other people's stuff. And I think that you and I were talking and AJ and I were talking and Landon and I were talking about, I'm not trying to take AJ's business. He's not trying to take mine. There's enough business out there. It's like we build strength together. We encroach on this food scene with better ideas, more inspiration, trying to feed you guys with really, really cool, innovative techniques.
You mentioned industry, and I wanted to jump in real quick. This is a table of four men sitting here. Yep. Can we use an opportunity to talk about some of the women that are doing great things in this industry and that are crushing it out there?
Julie yeah. Simon comes to my mind.
Yeah, Julie Simon's the hot shot in the area, really. I mean, I consider her one of the best chefs in the area.
Oh, totally.
Hands down. You got to think about the women who paved the way, like Megan Loring, who was at the park, and
Neon Carrot,
who has since left the area, and then Pandy Pearson, she was at Windows in the Water and Lido's for a short period, and now she's up in Paso making wine, and she's working at Long Branch Saloon, chefing up there.
Out in Preston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, there's some powerful ladies out there, and it's definitely not just a male-dominated industry around here.
Yeah.
You know, Spencer, I noticed something in your bio. You list your leadership ability to foster teamwork, and you coach, and I've always admired these characteristics in restaurants that I've worked in, but it's definitely not always the case in the restaurant industry, right?
Absolutely.
So where does this come from?
I think it comes from knowing that it's going to take other people to keep this profession going. And the stronger cook I have, the better I am as a leader. I probably wasn't the best leader in the beginning of my career, and I learned a lot as I, you know, climbed the ranks. I probably, as my first executive chef position, probably wasn't the best leader either. But I learned from my mistakes, and I really turned it around. And I think that nowadays, being able to take someone that's a rookie, a greenhorn or whatever, and show them, you know, the correct techniques and show them the ropes and kind of talk to them about books and show them how to sharpen their knives and, you know, just – the things that I didn't actually get from my mentors that I could have really used, I like to be able to showcase that to my staff.
For anyone listening out there right now that's new in the industry, or perhaps someone who has a son or daughter that's thinking about going into the culinary or wine field, what is some advice you have out there for anyone looking to get started?
Go get a dishwashing job.
Start from the bottom, make your way up. You'll learn a lot more than you'd expect. Definitely, I was dishwashing. I did pretty much everything, but in the end, observing your surroundings is huge. You start as a dishwasher, hopefully not thinking about washing dishes, but just observing the kitchen run. That's step number one. Other than that, I mean, this is a passion that we do. We don't make too much money doing this. You have to care about what you do in order to succeed. That's what makes you different from any other cook, is how much you care. If you don't care, then it kind of shows that you don't care, which is kind of a problem.
Dirty floor, sweep it. Don't walk over it anymore. You know, pick up the trash. You know, keep things tidy. Super important. So if starting from that bottom and making sure that, you know what it takes, and if you can't handle that heat and, that speed and all that kind of stuff, although having a title of executive chef is nice, there's all that grimy dishwashing and cleaning still has to happen in every restaurant.
I'm all about learning from doing. I think culinary school and going to sommelier school, paying all these thousands of dollars on tests and stuff like that. I think get a job within the industry first, see if it's something you want to do. Because you'll find out real quick. If it's not your day off and you're not seeking knowledge on your own time to better yourself as a chef or as a sommelier, reading on your own time, it should be a passion. And just because you clocked out doesn't mean you're done learning. And I think if you're hungry, that desire to learn when you're off the clock shows that maybe, this is something you might want to lean towards.
Well, Spencer, as you mentioned, you've got a new pop-up coming up, the Turntable Supper Club.
Well, Turntable Supper Club, Sally Lou's, it's on Good Friday, the 19th of April, which is also Passover, and we're doing the Foods of Israel. So it's going to be a Passover meal created through the eyes of someone that is not Jewish or not from Israel, But I have some very good friends, and I read some really good books, and I really think I nailed it on this one. So if you're interested, go to Dan York Kitchen or Sally Lou's Instagram page, or you can look at my805tickets.com, look up Turntable Supper Club. You'll find the menu there.
Well, before we let you go today, is there anything anyone wanted to add?
Baron the Wren. We do a concert series with Biddle Ranch every Thursday of the summer. We're working on a little project right now, hopefully opening up a restaurant soon. So keep that in mind.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Spencer Johnson with Dan Your Kitchen and the Turntable Supper Club, AJ LaRosa with Bear and the Wren, and Lennon Rust of Rust Wine Company. You guys have been great. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're tuned to Issues and Ideas on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio.